None of us are perfect. Although I thought that was extremely cute. But the little wart got a whipping right there in front of everybody. She got punished for doing wrong. When I was about 5 years old, Mother took me to the grocery store. And I couldn't resist them grapes. They ended up being grapes of wrath. No, I think I snuck that grape and she never knew about it. But if she'd have found out, I'd have got my little hind end wore out. But I was told the other day at Fire Lake, if you're not sure you want to buy that little bunch of grapes, you're not sure how they're going to get you one and taste it, make sure you're satisfied before you buy it. That's what that produce. Now, I'm not advocating y'all stealing them grapes, but that produce manager told me I could do that. Did he? Do you remember? He told me. Of course, he got fired right after that, but I don't think he got fired. He quit and went to Tinkerfield. But anyway, so be careful. Always look around and see if the cameras are on you. No, don't be stealing stuff. But, you know, people, that's just the way things is sometimes. I just want to encourage you today. I want you to turn to Philippians, the third chapter. I don't know if this will encourage you, but I want to say something here that might encourage you. Be who you is, because if you ain't who you is, then you is who you ain't. What did you say? I said, be yourself. That's who you are. Be yourself. Stop trying to be something that you're not. Be yourself. Amen. God made you. God knew what he was doing. He didn't make a mistake. Amen? Be who you is. Because if you ain't who you is, then you is who you ain't. Don't be who you ain't. Be who you is, okay? Be yourself. Praise the Lord. It's a great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read your Bible. It's a great morning for you. Amen? Aren't you ready for heaven? Amen. It'll be a great morning one day when we finally get there. I want to preach a message this morning entitled Running Towards the Goal. And I know I've used this text before and I've probably preached it a dozen to 24 times. Who knows how many times I've preached out of this text. But I want to bring it to you today again, possibly in a little bit different manner, running towards the goal. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 16. The Apostle Paul sees himself as a runner in a race. He is exerting all of his strength and energy and pressing towards his goal. He's pressing toward the goal with intense concentration in order not to fall short of the goal that Jesus Christ has placed in his life. These goals were Paul's perfect oneness with Christ, his final salvation, and his resurrection from the dead. It was a motive for his life. He was motivated by this goal that he had, a final salvation, a resurrection from the dead, his oneness while he was on earth with Jesus Christ. He had received a glimpse of the glory in heaven and had resolved to spend his entire life by the grace of God, that his entire life by the grace of God would be centered around his determination to press on and someday get to heaven and see Jesus Christ face to face. That was his goal in life. He had to do everything he could to do that. Such determination is essential for you and I today. Throughout our lives, there's going to be all kinds of distractions and temptations and worldly cares. There's going to be wealth and evil desires that will choke off our commitment to the Lord. You've got to be careful. You'll be choked out. You'll get out of the race if you're not careful. So what we need to do is just like the Apostle Paul, forget those things which are behind our old life of sin and a reaching forth for a complete and final salvation in Jesus Christ. We're headed somewhere today. We're headed to heaven. It's a glorious place. It's worthwhile. It's worth struggling for. It's worth the trials and the temptations that you go through to get there. You want to go there. Don't you want to go? Heaven's a place to go. Let's read our text today. Paul says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Heavenly Father, today, once again, we open up this book that discloses to us the reasons that we live, the way to live, and the way to you. We ask God that you would help us to receive this word and help us to receive it with gladness, help us to apply it diligently and to live it out with the best of our ability. God, I pray that you would anoint this messenger's lips today to bring this word in a way that would be very real and also understandable, in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen. Now I'm going to try to bring to you 6 points today. I've got to get them all in because I don't want to split this up. You see, there's going to be a very important family of ours going to be gone next week, and I certainly want them to receive all that God has for them, because they're going down to a place called Orlando, Florida, and I'm scared for them while they're there in that place of iniquity. And so I'm looking out for the Gillums today. I'm just kidding with you. They are taking a trip, going to be gone for about a week, and we'll miss them next Sunday. And I want you to pray for them while they're gone. Not because they might fall into sin, but because they're going down to have a good time, and it just ain't fair to the rest of us. It was all right for me to go have a good time a couple weeks ago, but it just ain't right when y'all do. All right. 6 points that we do want to get a point across to you today. Number one, to pursue the goal requires an honest admission. Paul said in verse 12, not that I had already attained, either were already perfect. It takes an honest admission. None of us should ever think that we've already reached perfection. We haven't. We never will this side of heaven. We strive for it, we search for it, we look for it, we long for it, but we won't receive it this side of heaven. If a man like the Apostle Paul thinks that a man of himself that he hasn't already attained, a man called of God for in an extraordinary way, instructed in by God in a unique manner, and was even caught up into the third heaven, how much more should we? I mean, this man, in our eyes, he's next to Jesus Christ. We talk about the Apostle Paul more than we do any other apostle, usually. I mean, we think very highly of the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, I haven't attained yet. I haven't reached perfection yet. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm running a race still. I'm still doing everything I can for Jesus Christ. If he hadn't attained yet, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he wasn't there yet, what makes you think we are? We're not, but we're still saved, we're still devout, we're still living for God. So no believer will reach perfection in this life. I know some of you, that's bursting your bubble. Some of you think you're just pretty hot stuff there. You think you got it together. None of us got it all together. None of us do. We've all got our flaws. We all have our faults. We all have our temptations. We all have our times that we let down. That we get. So it's impossible to achieve by self-denial or even extreme legalism, nor by adding or subtracting from the doctrine of the Bible. You just are not going to reach perfection until you get to heaven. As long as we are on this earth, we will have to deal with the sin that so easily besets us. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, he says, lay aside every weight and every sin. There are things in our lives, every single one of us, that we have to get under control. That we have to deal with, possibly daily. Every one of us. We can never let down. You have to stay diligent. So one day, however, when we are with the Lord, our mortal bodies will be changed into immortal ones, and then we'll be perfect. Aren't you kind of excited about that, to think if we'll just hang in there just a little bit longer, if we'll just live for Jesus just a little while longer, that one of these days our mortals going to be turned into immortal. I mean, we're going to be better than the Incredibles. They got funny looking bodies anyway. But they're supernatural. They ain't got nothing. They don't have anything on us, buddy. They're just cartoon characters conceived in somebody's mind. But we're heading to heaven, and we'll be immortal one day if we'll just hang in there. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," oh hallelujah, when He shall appear, I could take a side road right there, because there's just something bubbling up down in my spirit right now. When He shall appear, Jesus, when He steps out on the clouds of glory, it says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Excuse me for just a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, church, we've got everything to live for. We've got everything to gain if we'll just continue to live for Jesus Christ. You see, we should never, never, ever proclaim that since Jesus has attained a complete victory for us and all is under grace, that and He's going to bring us to the finish line and we'll be perfect then, that we don't have to do anything now. That's a lie from the pits of heaven. I know we're under grace. I know we're walking in under mercy right now, His grace and mercy. But church, there's still work to be done. There's still life to be lived. And you've got to live a life that's pleasing unto God, and you can't depend upon your salvation last year. And I know you're saved by grace and you're saved to the uttermost, but there's work to be done. You got to keep living for Him. You don't say, "Well, I got saved, don't do nothing else." No, it don't work that way. Some will tell you it does, but it doesn't. It's a good life living for the Lord, though. It's so wonderful knowing my reward. I'm going to heaven someday. Somebody said, one time said, complacency is the grave of progress. If you're complacent about this, you're going to go to your grave and die in your sin. Can't be complacent. We must continue to pursue a goal of Christ-likeness until we are with the Lord. Got to continue to do it. You don't stop because you got to a certain place. You keep pursuing Christ. It demands a decision. I don't want to be satisfied with my present state. I don't want to be at a standstill. I want to attain a goal. The Apostle Paul wasn't satisfied with what he had done. He still had a goal to attain, and he intended to keep working till he got there. Till he went to heaven, he was going to live for God. He was going to lay aside every weight. He was going to get rid of the sin that he said so easily besets you. He's going to attain. I'm going to keep going towards the goal. Number two, to reach the goal requires maximum effort. It requires maximum effort. It takes an honest admission, and it requires maximum effort. Paul said in verse 12, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ." You see, free grace that we have received in no way excludes our total commitment. Yes, you've been saved by grace, but you now have to be committed to living for Jesus Christ. You're committed to it. He even uses the strong expression to chase after. He is running after Jesus Christ. He is pursuing Him with everything that's within Him. And to chase after or to follow after, to chase after, they may apprehend. He's chasing after Jesus. Jesus is a little bit ahead of Him. He can't quite catch Him. So I'm going to chase after. I'm going to continue to pursue. And one of these days, I will apprehend him. I will catch up with him, but it's not until I get to heaven. And so I'm going to understand when he's talking about this, that it banishes all thoughts of ease and indifference. Well, I thought it was a good life living for Jesus. I thought everything, when I got saved, everything would go my way. Somebody sold you a bill of goods. They sold you a lie. You bought it. It's not that way. Oh, is it a good life living for Jesus? Absolutely. Is it easy? Not all the time. Are there times that it goes pretty well? Yes, there is. There's other times it don't go so well. Sometimes living for Jesus just flat stinks. What? You know what I mean. You're in a race. You're running hard. You're out there. You're sweating. You're cramping. You're falling. You're skinning your knees. Can't quite make it. Doesn't seem you can ever get to victory over that one thing. And you're just struggling to live for Him. It stinks at that time. But I'm going to tell you, get up. Put a little salve on your knees. Drink some water. Get hydrated. Drink some living water. Get hydrated in Jesus. And it's going to be worthwhile. This struggle that you're in right now is going to be worthwhile. I know it might stink. You may say, well, if I'd known it's going to be like this, I just should never have gotten saved. Well, I tell you what, if I had known it was going to be this way, I still would have gotten saved. I still would have gave my life to Jesus. I still would have asked Him to forgive me of my sin. It's a good life. It's been worthwhile. And I have everything to gain and nothing to lose. And I'm going to run this race, and I'm not going to be indifferent about it. I'm going to do everything I can to be apprehended by Jesus Christ, to catch up with Him. You know, when Paul wrote the letter to the church at Philippi, there had been 30 years that had passed since he had been saved. 30 years had passed. And he said, I'm still running. I'm still in the race. I'm still doing everything I can to catch up with Jesus. I'm doing everything I can to be perfected. I'm doing everything I can to be holy. I'm doing everything I can to let people know I've been set apart. I'm going to teach about Jesus. I'm going to tell about Jesus. I'm going to confront people about Jesus. I'm not going to give up, because I've been set free to empower and empowered to proclaim the gospel. Paul wouldn't give up. The primary purpose of his apprehension by Jesus is described in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, when it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus saved us, and he did predestinate to conform us to the image. God predestinated us to become formed, to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be like Jesus. To be like him. That's all I ask, is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to heaven, that's all I ask, is to be like him. Am I like him? No. I'm trying. I got my flaws. I got my situations. But I'm trying. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul wasn't near as perfect as we think he was. And if we had probably met him, the fact is, if he'd walk in this church today, he would probably tear us up. He would give us the what for. He would look at the state of the church today, and he would be appalled. He would. I think he would be so shocked how lax we have become, how worldly that we are, how indifferent we are to the things of God. But he was empowered. See, to foreknow in this verse, he said, whom he did foreknow means to forelove. To whom God foreloved, to those he set his love upon from eternity. He's loved us from eternity. He's waiting on us to become like Him, and He saved us so we could be with Him and be like Him. And foreknowledge means that God purposed from eternity to love and redeem the human race through Jesus Christ. He foreknew and He planned on saving the human race through His Son Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn it. He didn't send it to condemn. He sent to save the whole world, every individual. Not everybody accepts Christ. Not everybody's getting saved. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. But everybody seems to want to. Right? Amen. Everybody wants to go. So He's doing it. So it's through repentance of sin and acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord and a living and an abiding faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we are the predestinate, the firstborn among many brethren. It's been our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so salvation is not an end in itself. It has a wonderful final goal. I got saved, but I'm going someplace. I have a goal in mind. I didn't make up this. God set the goal. The goal is heaven. The goal is in His presence one day. The goal is that eternal a life with Jesus Christ, the changing of this mortal into immortality to the immortal. And so I'm in the race. And so for us, it's to become more and more like Jesus Christ. It's more than just the end goal of going to heaven. It's to become more like Christ, to be more Christ-like. We forget that part of it oftentimes. We say, I want to go to heaven, and I'm heading to heaven, and heaven's getting sweeter every day. But we need to understand that in this process, Paul was not just heading to heaven. Paul was doing everything he could to make himself, to beat his body and bring it into subjection to the will of God and to become more Christ-like every single day. In other words, he was maturing in Jesus Christ. He was doing everything he could to be more like Christ, to live a life of total commitment. Can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer it out loud today. Do you pursue the goal with total commitment? Huh? Do you pursue the goal of being like Christ with total commitment? Is your greatest desire to reflect the image of Christ? Is that apparent in your life? Is it apparent in your life? That your goal is to live like Christ, to be like Christ, and ultimately go to heaven. You see, we all must make a passionate effort to be like Christ, to follow Christ, without becoming sidetracked. If we're not careful, we'll become sidetracked. Number three. For the race toward the finish, we need goal-directed concentration. Paul said in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul emphasized here that he had not reached perfection nor attained his goal. I haven't quite got there yet, Paul said. I'm not there. But he was focused on the objective. His goal is one thing. And that is to be like Christ and to ultimately go to heaven. He has established priorities and works toward their realization with his utmost personal engagement. He was involved in his salvation. He was involved in his work for the Lord. He didn't just come to church, sit on a pew and say, wasn't that a nice sermon today? He was involved in it. He was reading his word, the word. He was studying the word. He attended church every chance he got. He preached the word when he could. He prayed often. He did everything he could to make sure that he was ready to be, that he was pliable, that he was available to Jesus Christ to be used to him. He had established his priorities and he was doing everything he could with very personal engagement. He had a personal knowledge, by the way, of the Olympic Games because of his many months in Greece. Because of this, he often used an example of an athlete to drive home a point. Perhaps you know of races where the leader would look back, and that one moment looking back costs them a victory. Perhaps you know that. Looking back hinders concentration. It hinders your concentration. It may be personal disappointments. It might be failures or sins or even blessings and victories. That doesn't mean we shouldn't, that we should forget all of the benefits of serving God, but we've got to stop looking back to what used to be. Stop wallowing in the old sin you used to have, but stop glorying in all the victories you've had. Yes, remember them and remember the benefits of them, but that's in your past. You've got your present in front of you, and you've got to continue to press toward the goal. Don't look back. You will lose concentration. We look back too often. Well, that's what we used to be, and that's what we used to do, and that's how God blessed me back then. That's immaterial. It's great to have those memories. It's great to have those blessings. It's great to rehearse how God has brought you, but don't keep looking back. You've got to look forward. Concentrate on what's ahead of you. You're going to lose out if you're not. The important thing is that our past, the negative as well as the positive, must not be an obstacle to our present or our future. We've got to reach forth into those things which are before. That denotes total focus and total dedication. I'm looking forward to what God has. Some years back, there was an Olympic Games in London where there was a women's triathlon event. After a grueling swimming, bicycling, and running event, two ladies approached the finish line at the same time. They both had the same goal, the finish line. They pressed forward, stretched out their arms, and Nicola Sprigg finally won the gold medal by the tiniest of margins. This is the kind of effort that Paul had in mind. Run as hard as you can, no matter how difficult it has been. Don't look back. Don't quit. Keep pressing forward. We must do that, church, if we're going to win this race. We have to strive for the goal with that same kind of mindset. With all this effort, we can get tired. Sometimes we get discouraged. Is that your experience? The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So sometimes as we run the race, we need some motivation. I'm trying to motivate you a little bit today. Don't quit. Keep striving. Keep moving forward. I know it hurts sometimes. I know you struggle at times. I know you get weary sometimes. I know that. I've experienced all of it. And I know you get plumb discouraged and down and out every once in a while. I mean, every now and again, it just happens to everybody. But don't quit. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You can make it. Number four. To press toward the finish line requires spiritual motivation. Verse 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the prize of His high calling? It's the glory, it's the unspeakable glory of God. It's the completion of our salvation. It's redemption in its fullest. It's perfect fellowship with our beloved Lord. It is life in His presence. That's worthwhile right there, all of that. Being with the Lord, you know, unspeakable glory is joy unspeakable and full of glory, we used to sing. It's completion of our salvation. We've been saved. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. But more than that, happy and glory one day I shall be because I've been redeemed. So we're heading somewhere. John said it really well in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, glory. The near expectation of the rapture, is a great motivator for a life that is focused on Him. One day we will receive our reward. Heaven is a glorious place. Don't you want to go? I want to go. I want to get there. One of these days, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25 says this, know ye not that they which run a race... run a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They run and only one person gets the crown. We run and everybody wins. Not just a participation trophy either. We get the real thing. The real deal. Amen. Heaven. He opens it up and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You run the race with patience, with perseverance, and you're here. Well done. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Isn't that enough motivation to live for God right there? That one of these days Jesus is coming back and we receive our reward. It's worthwhile. 5, the race to the goal always requires God's help. It requires God's help. Paul said in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be otherwise, God shall reveal even this unto you. Every one of us are at different stages of spiritual maturity. Every single one of us. It's a shame when somebody 70-year-old is about a 2-year-old spiritually. It does happen. It's a shame if you're here today and you're older and been in church a long time and you're about a 5-6-year-old in maturity, and yet some of these teenagers are already up in their a midlife as spiritual mature people. It can happen. We need to be spiritually mature. Regardless, however, what stage you are in, it should never hinder anyone from pursuing the goal. Maybe you are spiritually immature today. Keep pursuing the goal. Maybe you've been in it a wrong time and you just about know everything there is to know about living for God. You got to stay in the race. Keep pressing forward. Keep moving towards God. And so you've got to do it. There's obstacles. There's going to be obstacles in your life, and God will reveal them to you. He uses different ways to do that. Sometimes you're going to have obstacles, church. It's just that way. Some of them are self-made, by the way. I won't go there. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we create more mess in our life than and then we want to blame the devil for it? We do, don't we? Regardless of what stage, don't let anything hinder you from pursuing the goal. If there are obstacles, and so God reveals them to us, He does it through the power of His Word, through sermons or personal Bible study. He works to our Christian brothers and sisters to reveal to us some of the obstacles in our lives. Sometimes they are the obstacles. Sometimes He allows difficult times and temptations in our lives. Don't discount the difficult times and the temptations that may come your way. They might be a God-placed obstacle to build your faith and to create a stronger, more mature person out of you. Don't discount the obstacles. These are God's way of aiding us to reach our goal. You know what? If we never knew, had a problem, how would we know that, you know that old song, how would we know that God could solve them? Sometimes there are things come in our life that God has directed to build us up, to strengthen us, to test us, to try us, but ultimately to make us stronger in Him. Not to cause you to give up, but to cause you to rely on. Whatever you go through, rely on God. We're still there. We need God's help. We all need His help. And usually during these moments, we don't perceive them as God things, do we? We might look back later and say, well, that was a God thing. Well, at the time, I didn't know it. But after I've come through it, and I've seen how God moved, I know it was God. And He brought me through it. It was tough, but I made it. I held on. You know, you get there at the end of your rope, just tie a knot in the end and hold on. Hold on. Help's coming. God's on His way. And so we need to understand. Sometimes God uses chastening. And you want to write this scripture down. I'm not going to read it all to you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, we read about the chastening of the Lord, how God corrects those whom He loves. And I'm so thankful for the love of God that would correct me when I'm wrong. When he's sort of like Stephanie was with Emma on yesterday, where she did something wrong. She didn't just say, "Whoa, isn't that cute? Put the sucker back, Emma," or "Here, Emma, let me buy that for you, and then you can stick it back in your pull-up." No. She said, "Emma, you did wrong. And because you did wrong, I'm going to spank you. Now, I'm not going to spank you later, Emma. I'm going to spank you now." And so she spanked her right there in front of everybody, and they was just aghast that she would do that and right there in public. But that's the time she needed it. She didn't need it an hour and a half later at home. She needed it right then, where she knew why she was getting the spanking. Well, that's when I need a spanking from God. Right then, when I'm doing what I shouldn't do, I need God to say, "Straighten up." I don't need him to put it off and say, "Oh, isn't he cute?" Because it ain't cute when Christians are sinning. It's not cute when your kids are sinning. When they're a little bit small or doing something they shouldn't do, not all, you know. When they're rebellion. Ew, it's hard. It's not cute, is it? It was when I did it, but it ain't no more. Wasn't then. It never has been. God uses correction sometimes. And that correction is a sign that we're a child of God. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't correct you. Think about that. If I didn't love my kids, I would never have corrected them. I just let them do what they want. I love them enough to correct them. I spanked them when they needed spanking. Grounded them when I could. I hated grounding kids. I always forgot what I ground them for and for how long. After about two days of grounding a kid from a car, you're sick of it because you got to take them everywhere. No, I think we're going to change it. Let me just give you a couple spats for that. Come on, I don't want to ground you because I don't want to have to take you where you're going. After finally got you where you can drive yourself, I don't want to have to take you. But see, that's a sign that you're a child of God. He corrects you. That's an assurance of God's love and concern. His discipline has two purposes, that we'll not be condemned with the world and that we might share God's holiness and continue to live a sanctified life without which we will never see the Lord. Without holiness, you'll never see the Lord. That's a sanctified life, a set-apart life. Not a perfect life, a set-apart life. Because we're not going to be totally perfected until we get to heaven. Aren't you glad there for grace? I'm tickled to death about grace. And so there are a couple of consequences of the Lord's discipline. One, that we may endure the hardship God leads us through, submit to God's will, and remain faithful. That's all He wants, for you to remain faithful. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Remain faithful to Him. And then you'll yield the fruit of righteousness. However, the second side of that is this. You might despise the discipline of the Lord. What happens then? In doing this, many rebel against God because of the suffering and they fall away from Him. Don't fall away from God because there's some suffering in your life. Don't give up on Christ because you don't like the way things are going. Stay in the race. Continue to run toward the goal. It's worthwhile. You see, in all kinds of adversity, we must seek God, examine our lives, and forsake all that is contrary to His holiness. Church, we're heading someplace. And lastly, number six, and I won't take very long here. The race to the goal also requires that we have the same mindset that Paul had. Verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." To run this race, to win this race, we must have a one mind, being one mind and one accord. Markers on a racetrack aid the runners in staying in their lane. God has given us boundaries, guidelines. He's given us arrows to point the way. And on a racetrack, we see the lines that keeps a runner in their own lane. The lane markers all also indicate a course, the direction of the course. You got to know which direction to run. It's not going to do you any good. You're not going to win a race. Haley likes to run, but if she lines up going opposite of what the other runners are going, she's going the wrong direction. And that's a lot of Christians sometimes. We line up and we head off down through there, and all of a sudden we think, well, I think I can get there quicker by going this way. Or it might be easier if I go the other direction. Or maybe I'll cut over across here. It doesn't work that way. You got to stay on course. Whatever the obstacles, you may come to some hurdles. May reach some hurdles. You might be on a cross-country track and there may be a water obstacle. Come on now. In this journey, you might just be on a wilderness track. And you're going to run into some poison ivy and some poison oak. And there might be a bear off to the side, or a lion growling or howling at night. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? That you got to stay on course, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the fear that you may face. You've got to have that mindset, I'm going to finish the course. We got to have that common mindset. It's valuable and it's great help running towards the goal. That mindset is this: I'm going to win, I'm going to finish, and I'm not stopping until I get to where God is directing me. That's where I'm going. We don't gain the winner's prize if we remain seated at the edge of the stadium. When I used to run, long time ago, I never won any race by sitting on the sideline. I couldn't sit there and wait for them to cross, wait for them to get to close to the finish line, run out there on the track and cross in front of them and say, I win. I had to start, and I did win a race or two, by the way. Not bragging, just fact. Maybe one. Okay, I ran some races. But I always ran to win. I ran the right direction. I overcome whatever obstacles there were. And I kept my eye on the prize. I didn't look back to see who was behind me. Most of the time I knew who was behind me. If there's eight lanes and there's seven ahead of you, you know there's nobody behind you. So there's no reason to look back. Look forward. See if you can't catch somebody. This is our goal, church. It's to get to heaven. Don't look back. Stay in the lane. Move forward. Exert your best effort. Run as hard as you can. The prize won't go to those who finish first necessarily, but to all those that finish. Finish the race. There's a lot of people who's already went on before us. They've already finished crossed the finish line. They've already attained what we're trying to attain. They're not going to get any more than what we're going to get, but let's finish the race. It's don't be like this young man one day, some years back, and he was going to church here and trying to live for God, and he was doing a pitiful job of it, and having struggles and trials. And I went to see him. He was laying out and not coming half the time. And then he's having trouble and the marriage was falling apart. And then he lost his job. And then this was going on. I mean, all these struggles. I went to see him. He said, I tell you what, preacher, I'd been better off if I'd never started serving God. I said, no, you wouldn't have, sir. But you would be better off if you would serve God. But he said, I might as well just shake my fist in God's face. He said some dirty things, some bad things. How God had dumped on him. God had just done me dirty. God didn't do it. And if God did do it, it's because God was trying to show him where he was at so that he might help him attain the goal. But he didn't like what was going on, and he fell out. Finally, the last time I remember seeing him was in the parking lot of our church. Right out here by where the crosses used to be. And he'd come up. He was about out of his mind. And I think the devil was after him if he didn't have him. And He was threatening suicide, had a gun under his seat, trying to get to the gun. We called help, and he was suicidal last time I saw him because he rejected God and said, I'm not going to run the race any longer. Don't get that way, church. Run the race with endurance, patience. Run the race. Amen. Stand with me.